Hey, are you a business owner, entrepreneur, or professional? If so, we want you to apply to be a featured guest on our show. My name is Adam Torres, and I host the Mission Matters series of podcasts. I've recorded over 3,000 episodes, and we are just getting started. How do you know if you'd be a good guest to be on the show? Well, only one way to find out, and that's to apply, but I'm going to let you in on a little secret. We want guests that have a story to tell. Guests with a brand, a product, or a service that can benefit my audience of listeners. If this sounds like you, go to missionmatters.com and click on Be Our Guest to Apply. I'd love to talk to you and get to know more about your story. Again, head on over to missionmatters.com and click on Be Our Guest to Apply. All right, now let's get into the show.
Hey, I'd like to welcome you to another episode of Mission Matters. My name is Adam Torres. You can follow me on Instagram at AskAdamTorres to keep up with my book releases, book tour schedule, signings, all that other good stuff. Always love to connect with you there. And as always, if you'd like to apply to become a co-author of one of my upcoming books, just head on over to the website, missionmatters.com, and click on Become an Author to Apply. All right, so today I have Justin Sorotin on the line, and he's a founder of Octo Product Development. Justin, welcome to the show.
Hello, thank you for having me.
All right, Justin. So I'm excited to get into Octo. I mean, there's a lot of business owners, entrepreneurs, executives that watch this show, and we'll be talking a lot about innovation and how you're really making that happen for companies and businesses and accelerating that growth. I mean, that's what a lot of people out here are looking for and interested in. But before we get started into that, I'd like to start with our signature question. So, Justin, we at Mission Matters, we amplify stories for entrepreneurs, executives, and experts. So that's our mission here. Justin, what mission matters to you?
So our mission focuses around problem solving and being exposed to challenging technical problems that we can apply our collective experience and knowledge to be able to support our customers. So that's sort of mission A. And then mission B is about creating a work environment that allows a bunch of highly skilled, technical, creative people to thrive, be enthusiastic and engaged, and fulfill that piece of their lives through our community that we're building here within our company. So we've sort of parsed that mission, and they're highly connected, because if you have a enthusiastic, active, engaged workforce, that group then does a better job of solving big problems.
Man, that's awesome. So love bringing mission-based entrepreneurs and executives on the line. So great to have you on the show. So let's just dive right in. So I definitely want to unpeel with the time that we have here, like what it takes to accelerate innovation. But just to set the stage, tell us more about Octo and like what you're doing on the day-to-day.
Yeah, so we started as what would be considered a industrial design agency back in 2008. And we've evolved fairly far from that start point into a company now that employs sort of a full stack of developers on the software side, from research through to development and deployment, and a full stack of designers and engineers on the hardware side. And we end up getting put into positions where we're asked to combine those collective resources to create solutions for customers that are otherwise outside of the scope of what they typically do, or something that they are running up against from a market perspective. And we sort of enter that space and support them in those efforts.
That's awesome. So I guess first thing first, you're an outside entity. I mean, you're working with large technical organizations. What's your view on working with some of these organizations on the challenges that they face? Like, what's your view on that?
So there's sort of a common theme across some of these, especially larger companies. You know, when you get into multinationals with groups scattered across the globe, working on complex solutions for customers, whether that's in an industrial space, a medical space, a pharmaceutical space. But there's tons of commonalities across them, and the challenges that a lot of those companies run into sort of comes down to the nature of the way that they're structured and the challenges that come with these highly specialized, siloed organizations that really are challenged to cross between disciplines or cross between verticals to really unlock all of the potential that lives within inside many of those companies. So if you're working with a CEO or a chief product officer who's sitting sort of looking down across an entire organization filled with technical capabilities, their primary struggle is to figure out how to connect those dots between different sub-organizations and then connect that to customer need so that they're able to really press into new markets and grow more quickly. And so we sort of come across that in all shapes and sizes in many of the organizations that we collaborate with. And it's a big challenge. It's a big challenge to overcome for those kinds of companies.
Yeah, and I know you're tackling big problems. And so I don't want to oversimplify this, right? I know there's no like magic phrase or anything else like that that's going to, you know, and especially we're not going to cure a big something big in a big organization, you know, 20-minute podcast episode. We know that.
No.
But that being said, I do like to give our audience like some tools just so that they can at least start thinking along those lines and like how do they start that process, right? Because every process has to start somewhere. So like, what kind of things have you seen, like changes or just in general that people can start thinking about, whether you've seen them or that you consult on this part, that can start getting them on the right path?
Yeah, I think there's a handful of sort of tips and tricks that people can take on that sound really easy when you say it in a
That's the key of life,
like,
right? It's always so easy. It's like, oh yeah, just do this and this. Yeah, you just got to be go
through. The realities of executing those is a lot harder than it is to just sort of speak about them. But I mean, I think part of this starts with this notion of how you culturally construct teams and what those teams are made of from a expertise perspective. And I think a lot of companies look at their teams and they say, well, we build cross-functional teams, and those cross-functional teams are there to be able to help support the various aspects of our business. But when you really drill down into who's on those teams, the idea of cross-functionality starts to blur, and you end up with teams that are much closer to one another than you may think. So our business spends a lot of time with technical organizations. We've also spent time, though, with marketing-driven consumer brands. And you run into many of the same challenges where you'll say, okay, well, we've got, for example, a cross-functional team where we've got a software engineer, a firmware engineer, a hardware engineer, a manufacturing engineer, and those are our cross-functions. And we'll step back from that and say, yes, but they're all engineers. Like, where's someone from sales? Where's someone from ops? Where's someone from finance? Where's someone from marketing? And building out cross-functional teams where the people involved are truly representative of the scale and scope of the problem that you're trying to solve, rather than being sort of narrower in their scope. And so that piece, that's a hard thing to solve, because culturally you're enticing conflict from within a team. You're almost like you're trying to encourage that debate. Mm-hmm. And that can be a really challenging shift from the way that a lot of companies tackle these problems. And as I said at the beginning, it's devoid of the industry. And where we get asked to come in is to help really bridge those gaps that are inevitably showing up between the team that's assembled and sort of the true nature of the problem that you're trying to solve. So that's sort of big step number one. And then layer two is then having the willingness to empower that team to effectively move autonomously within the solutions that they're looking for. And that step comes with trust, right? So you have a management group that trusts that the team is exploring in a way that's beneficial to the business as a whole, and then providing them the autonomy to take risks and take steps towards solutions that they believe to be correct based on the research that they've done and the experiences that they have. Those are sort of two big pillars that companies that we work with that start down those paths begin to see success really quickly once you sort of break those barriers that are, you know, this is a technical problem, therefore only technical people should be involved in the solution, or this is a marketing problem, and therefore only marketing people should be involved in that solution. So that happens sometimes by force. You know, we're a CEO or a chief operating officer will come in and say, this is how we're going to do it. And that's one avenue to take. And when it happens sort of a little more organically, sort of from within, you can really start to see people get enthusiastic about the results. And it just takes these little wins. You know, you don't have to change the world all at once. You get one little win that builds confidence to go after another slightly bigger win, and on and on and on you go. And I think you can, there's countless organizations that you can walk through that have evolved their businesses this way. And those are the companies that are moving more quickly and making change a part of their cultural mission, which is what we really like to be a part of.
That's awesome, Justin. So first off, this has been great. So final question, this is a two-part question. Number one, what types of organizations typically get the most value out of working with Okta, whether it's size of company, industry, demographic? Like, first off, what kind of organization gets the most value of working with you and your team? Question number one. Question number two, I'm sure some of those organizations are listening. What's the best way for them to follow up and to connect?
Yeah, so type of organization, that's an interesting question. I don't know that I've ever really thought about it in those terms, because the work that we do is so diverse. From a startup perspective, which we work with quite a lot of startups, we get to act as a sort of a large innovation engine for an otherwise very lean team. For large organizations, we get to act as an outside perspective, an outside voice, in an otherwise relatively closed ecosystem that is a large company. We come in with a more diverse point of view because of the breadth of work that we are asked to tackle. So I didn't really answer your question, because the answer is
you did answer it, actually. You did answer it. So another way of saying is that you're agnostic. Like,
we are
different companies. Yeah, you're agnostic. You did answer the question, and that's why I didn't cut you off and give you the word, because I was like, no, so you're agnostic. I get it. So you can help different organizations of different, you know, industries and just different things, and serve as that acceleration engine. So I get
that's
it.
Right.
Like, I get
it.
Yeah.
I mean, we have clients that are two-person startups, and we've got clients that are 20,000-person Fortune 100 companies. So.
That's awesome. And that's a big distinction, because sometimes I'll ask that question. They're like, well, we only work with enterprise. We like to work with everybody we can. Or some people are like, we don't do great with enterprise, but we do great with your midsize. Some people may do great with midsize and small business. So you did answer the question. I'm glad you gave us some numbers. So from two to 20,000. So you better get some phone calls ringing here, or you're going to make us, make me look bad over here. Somebody better call. And, Justin, that being said, second part of the question, how do people follow up?
The easiest place to follow up with us is right through our website, which is octopd.com, or you can find me on LinkedIn and shoot me a note directly. Those are probably the two most seamless paths to our front door.
Awesome. Well, this has been great, Justin. So thank you again for coming on the show. And to the audience, as always, thank you for tuning in. Hope you got a lot of value out of this. Hope you learned a lot. If you did, don't forget, hit that subscribe button, especially if you're a first-time listener or visitor. We want you to come back and hear some more. We have many more great mission-based entrepreneurs and executives and experts coming up for you, and we don't want you to miss any of that. And Justin, really, it has been a pleasure. Thank you for coming on the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me.